Our next public hearing is conditional use 1691 Purdue Farms Agri Recycle LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an amendment to conditions of approval of conditional use number 1314 for a micronutrient plant with related truck entrance and rail spur for the processing and handling of poultry litter to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 228.88 acres, more or less, lying west of U.S. Route 13A and north of Route 485. For the benefit of the commission, I copied the conditions of approval for ordinance number 1354, which was the ordinance for conditional use 1314, and attached to that on the cover is a copy of the letter that was received April 2006, describing the conditions that the Wayne Hudson, with Director of Co-Products Production of Purdue Farms Inc., has requested to be reconsidered, which I asked you to pass down.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, I have a copy. We have one agency comment from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum and dated June 12, 2006 from Debbie Absher, District Coordinator. We are advised that this site contains 12 types of soils with primarily with slight limitations. One soil type has moderate limitations, four have severe. The court finds sandy loam has slight, moderate, and severe limitations. The cleat soil has slight to moderate limitations. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected. It may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. In reference to farmland rating, seven soil types are of statewide importance. Three soil types are considered prime farmland. Three soil types are considered hydric and depressions. One is considered hydric and small depressions, and three are considered hydric. One is not rated, and one has no description. And attached to that with a copy of an aerial infrared showing the area around the site, and a copy of soil survey map number 48 showing the soils on site. I also have copies of the site plan, which I can pass down, but you're really giving consideration to the conditions of approval. But since some of the commission members were here, I will pass the site plans down. And I do have a copy of a letter from the State of Delaware Executive Department, Delaware Economic Development Office, dated April 3rd of 2006. Addressed to the county administrator, Bob Stickles, makes reference to Sunday production for Purdue Agri Recycle. And states, agriculture contributes to Delaware's and the Delmarva Peninsula economy. The poultry industry remains a key driver in our agricultural community, contributing over $686 million annually. Purdue Agri Recycle is currently operating an expanded schedule that includes Sunday production. This added production is critical to support our agricultural community, but has a limited date at which time production will be reduced. I'm writing to you today to show support for ongoing Sunday production for Purdue Agri Recycle. I understand Agri Recycle has proven to be a good neighbor, and the Sunday production schedule has not diminished the quality of life for the adjacent property owners. My sincere appreciation to you for considering this letter of support. And best regards, Judy McKinney Cherry, Director. That's all I have, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Evening, Commissioner. My name's Wayne Hudson. Live in Laurel, Delaware. As Mr. Mike explained, I'm the director of co-products manufacturing operation. What we're looking at is when we began this facility back 5 years ago, it was a greenfield site, and we had certain conditional use and stipulations that were administered to us, which we have adhered to. Now that we've been in the business 5 years, we very much understand the fertilizer business a little bit better. The fertilizer that's coming to us on the raw side comes out of the chicken farms pretty much on a daily basis year-round. However, the fertilizer selling season is about 6 months out of the year, and 3 months of those of the year is primarily when we will move probably 75% of our finished product. So we need to operate the facility around the clock, and it also, we kind of get hampered from the standpoint that we've been operating in loading trucks and loading rail cars only during daylight hours. With the fuel situation as it's been, the fuel surcharges that are out there, and the diminishing availability of truckers, most trucks are trying to get backhauls now, and you really cannot control or have any idea when the truck may or may not show up. This past year, we actually have canceled sales because we've had trucks that showed up right at dusk, and we could not load them. Also in the fertilizer business, in the farming industry, when they want to fertilize, they want to fertilize now. And if they're not able to get that fertilizer to fertilize, then they're going to go someplace else to get it, and then they won't come back and renew and get it from you the next day. Also, the weather is very much a driver of the fertilizer season. This year, if you remember, in February, it was rather warm. So the fertilizer season this year actually started in February and kind of continued February, March, April, May, which normally it runs the March, April, May time frame. This year, we actually ran out of product because we were not able to produce enough product to meet those sales. When we first started this business, we were targeting the agricultural business, and that's what we were making, a pelleted, pasteurized product for that. Since then, we have discovered that there is a bigger demand in the horticulture business and also in the golf course and lawn and garden. So now we're making a granulated product, which the golf courses are using some of that product in to serve the golf courses around here, as well as Scott's is a big customer of ours as far as in the lawn and garden business. And what they're doing is they're taking it and mixing it and blending it into their own bagged product as well. What we're asking for here is that the stipulation as far as being able to load trucks well beyond the daylight hours, and also being able to load rail cars beyond the daylight hours. During the heavy part of our season, we may have several trucks that'll come in that day, and our facility only allows us to load either trucks or load rail cars. We cannot load both of them simultaneously because it is in an enclosure. So what happens is if we're heavy with trucks coming in, those rail car orders don't get loaded, and then they get pushed off to the next day, and the next thing you know, we've missed a shipment on our rail cars as well. So that's the reason that we're coming and asking for those restrictions to be lifted. And also, we did a request that we could operate on Sunday only on an emergency basis. If you do recall, a couple months ago, we had a small fire in the facility, and we did lose some production, and we did get permission to run on Sundays for 60 days. And again, I guess they, under the request of the council, Planning Zoning Board, they had told me that I should put that in there as far as an offer, that in emergency basis that I could operate on Sundays only if I did call and ask for permission.
I suspect you better get an emergency number.
Yeah, very much so.
Unless you know by 4:30 on Friday that you're going to run Sunday.
Well, this was actually happened during the week. So, and if we thought that we would have to run on Sunday, it would be well in advance. It wouldn't be something that would just be spur of the moment.
Okay. All right, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you.
Mr. Chairman, would it be a benefit if I just read the basis of the letter, what they proposed to delete, so that if there's any public participation, that we have that on record?
Okay.
The first item in the letter requests deletion of number 4, which was a condition of approval. I will note that Rick just picked it up one of our pages of that order and what I provided to you. The second page, which says at the top, number 17 and 18 should have been the fourth or fifth page, right?
Yeah, the top of the page starts, this ordinance was adopted subject to the following stipulations. So that needs to be page 3, I guess.
Number 4 of the conditions, if I can find it here.
be movement of rail cars?
And movement of rail cars. Movement of rail cars within the conditional use area for loading purposes shall be limited to daylight hours. The drop-off and pickup of rail cars by the rail company servicing the spur is not restricted. Number seven is that truck travel to the site shall be during daylight hours, limited to Monday through Saturday. Number nine is proposed to be rewritten to read all activities involving raw litter shall be inside the building. The loading, unloading, and processing of raw material and litter shall be within the negative air section of the building. Storage of finished product, both pellets and granulated, may be stored outside in airtight containers. The loading of the finished product into transport vehicles shall be under the roof. What was originally stated in number nine was that all activities shall be limited to the inside of the building. The loading, unloading, and processing of raw material litter shall be within the negative air section of the building. The loading of the finished product into transport vehicles shall be under the roof. And then lastly, they have proposed to amend number 18 to read, operate Sunday hours only on an emergency basis. Purdue Agri Recycle agrees to notify planning and zoning when it is necessary to operate on Sunday. And originally that read,
No operating hours
shall be permitted on Sunday. That is a request.
On the amendment number nine, the storage of finished product you had said outside in airtight containers, was that written as watertight?
Actually,
It says watertight.
It says watertight.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said airtight. I'm sorry.
I might have.
Okay, water. I just want to make sure it's watertight.
Did I say air?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry. Okay. I'll be ahead of myself, maybe.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy. Just to describe these watertight tight containers that you're talking about.
Our product right now is going out in the pellet form, both bulk and also in one-ton tote bags. And in these one-ton tote bags, there is a plastic liner that seals the product inside of there. It's very imperative that our finished product, we keep it dry. It cannot have any water contact with it at all. If it does, it degrades it and it has to be reworked. So that's the purpose of watertight containers that we have to have. And the second benefit of that, it does prevent any product from falling out on the ground. Now we have that, and we also have ag bags. That is a sealed, it's like a 5 mil plastic bag that we actually can put down plastic on the ground. And then this plastic tube, the product is fed into that tube, and you can store up to 200 tons at a time in these bags. Those bags are then sealed very much like a Ziploc seal that's heated on the end, so that product is stored and kept dry as well. When we recover those bags, we actually use like a vacuum truck that actually comes and vacuums the product out of there, and that also controls all the dust, and then that is discharged back inside of the building, and that's where we load out our finished product. So once it's in the one tote bags, it is a finished product ready to go to the customer.
So how big are these containers?
The one-ton totes are one ton. They're 1 ton. And then the ag bags, the biggest we have made those has been like 200 ton, and that's probably 100 foot by 10 foot diameter.
So the your amendments, the finding amendments here. No, I can't find it now. So you want to operate loading, unloading day and night?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you foresee any excess noise that would keep people up at that night?
No, sir, I don't. I think we've been a good neighbor to the community. We do operate the plant around the clock. We do not, as I stated, when trucks come in, if it's at dusk, we turn them away, and we do not load any rail cars in the evening either. We do have a rail car mover, basically, that actually hooks up to one car at a time, so you don't have the clanging of cars similar to like what you have when a locomotive comes in with a whole train of 10 cars to come in and slam them.
That's all the questions I have.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Johnson?
Can you define for me what an emergency basis is?
Emergency basis was such where we had the fire, and it was in the middle of fertilizer season. We had product that farmers were trying to get out to the fields as well as get out of their chicken houses and get to us. So that was kind of like we had lost production for those 3 days, and that's when it was a fire.
So if you just happen to have a whole bunch of manure dumped on you, is that considered an emergency?
No, sir. It would have to be something that would cause some type of production malfunction or something major that was out of our control that we did not anticipate.
And is your thought in terms of the loading of the trucks and to be around the clock as well?
Yes, sir.
So you're asking for a 24-hour operation in terms of loading of trucks and the rail cars?
Yes, sir.
Except for Sundays?
Except for Sundays.
On an emergency basis?
Yes, sir.
And when you requested approval to do it this last time, was that a problem for you?
When
you got the 60-day reprieve to do it on Sunday?
Was it a problem? No, sir. It was not a problem. We called and explained the situation, and it was granted.
So that you were able to do that without any problem?
Yes, sir.
So perhaps then we don't need to amend it if we already have a procedure in place where you...
It was suggested that I should have it amended just because it is stated that no operating hours will be permitted on Sunday.
That should be amended. I mean, if that's...
Yeah, just if we're going to allow it.
Yeah, because I don't... it needs to be amended. I'll leave it at that.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Burton.
You will still be loading and unloading under roof, though, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
No change on that. How many trucks per day are you anticipating when you go to 24 hours?
Right now, we're loading probably in the range of 12 trucks of raw coming in a day, and then 12 to 15 trucks go out. Some of that's bulk. Some of it is in one-ton bags, and those are more like your box trailers that go out. We do have some fertilizer applicator trucks that come in as well, which, of course, they don't hold quite the same payload as like the hopper bottom trucks do, and that's what makes up that 12 to 15 there. And then primarily, we try to load anywhere from 2 to 4 rail cars. This would be during the peak season that we would load.
And that would go up if you got 24-hour rotation?
I'm sorry. That would be in that 24-hour rotation time.
Okay. No further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Couts?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. If you'll take a seat, we'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1691 Purdue Farms Agri Recycle LLC? Yes, sir. Please step right up. What's your name and address, and tell us what's on your mind.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Jerry Taylor. My wife and I, Carol, own and operate Taylor Tackle Shop on an alternate 13, which is due east of Agri Recycle. First off, I'd like to apologize for coming here in shorts. If Mr. Lank had done a better job in 87 when I applied for my operating permit to run my business and put restrictions on my hours, I wouldn't have had to work so late. I could have been here after going home and changing clothes.
I don't believe
I working. Going back to Ag Recycle, I led the original group against Ag Recycle for a number of reasons, the largest of which was against the unknown, because there was no other process in existence. Since that time, I would have to say Ag Recycle is multiple things. First, it's two good neighbors to me. It's a neighbor to my business, a half a mile straight line. It's also a neighbor to my home, which is 2.5 miles in the opposite direction. I watched your trucks come in and out every day. I've never, ever seen any problems with either the traffic. I've never seen any problem with spillage on the road. They have serious requirements on the trucks that they have to be covered. I think the requirement is if it's not covered, it stays off the property. And I have already seen one incident where Mr. Ferguson had a truck stopped out to the road and a cover put back on it before it came on the property because it had started in. I've had a lot of exchanges with Mr. Ferguson. I have found him to be very honest, very caring about his effect and his business effect on people. I would have to say that from my standpoint, his business is the future of our generation. It's not here yet. I bought the property that I currently own, which is on Gum Branch Stream. It's a very important watershed, and I bought it in 69 before I built my home there, and I had grass, multiple grass, in the stream. Shortly thereafter, the tax ditch was put in through the field that is currently across from my shop and surrounding my shop. Immediately following that, all the grass died because it was exposed to a runoff from the fields. It's a big French drain that runs out into the ditches. If you can envision that, I don't even know why the law allowed it, but it was allowed at the time. AgriCycle has been there just a few short years, and my grass is back in the stream. You know I can't do a whole lot to impact the environment, but I see a business like his is impacting it every day in a very positive way, and we do need to look at it very hard.
All right, sir. Thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
Excuse me, sir.
Taylor, you won't have any problem with the 24-hour operation?
No, sir. I have no problem with 24 hours, 7 days a week. Because thanks to Mr. Link, that's what I work.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1691? Yes, sir.
My name is Russell Ebron. I live at 28369 O'Neill's Road. I'm the closest residence to this facility. And I literally laughed at the statement just made that they've been a good neighbor. I have a partial list that I just recently FOIA'd from the Department of Natural Resources. And I say partial because I don't know why it stops at 2004, because I've made at least this many more complaints since then. Look at a copy of this.
What is it a copy of?
Of complaints I have placed to the Department of Natural Resource Environmental Protection Agency that officers have come to my house and actually observed. That is not a detailed report. That is just what they've done for odor, permit check. The permit check is for exceeding their flue, 20% flue emissions, and operating with the door open. They repeatedly did. Again, I've had environmental protection officers sitting in my driveway observing this activity. And that is at least that much longer. I didn't have time to get with the Department of Natural Resources to find why the rest of the complaints were not on there. I've also had multiple complaints to the Planning and Zoning Board itself about running on Sundays already. They have already run on Sundays. And I called about it. And I don't know what clock or calendar they use about running on Sunday, but I also know a former employee that used to work there. I didn't even need their input, but I had it anyway because I know when they're running. I hear it. They've been a good neighbor. Yeah, this letter from this department, or Delaware Economic Development Office, this director here, Miss McKinney Cherry, she says at the bottom there, I understand that AgriRecycle has proven to be a good neighbor and the Sunday production schedule does not diminish the quality of life for the adjacent property owners. I understand. So someone told her that. She obviously hasn't observed that. And if she lived near it, she wouldn't have wrote that letter. So I understand Mr. Taylor's position, too, that he has no problem with 24-hour operation. He don't live there. He just works there. He's not there in the evenings when he wants to have a picnic or sit out on the deck or do something with his family when you can't because the odor is gagging you. He doesn't understand that. And again, their lighting, they were told to take all their lighting. This is another call that I've made to this board or to the planning and zoning that their lighting is supposed to shine towards the building. There's been a light in the back of that building that shines right towards my house, right towards my house. I've complained about it several times, and I know that they've visited the site. I don't know why they can't see the light. I mean, it's, you know, it's light. And again, about the Sundays, I'm going back to the Sundays. They start their shift 9 p.m. Sunday night for their Monday shift. So on my clock, Sunday stops at 11:59:59, not 9 p.m. And the fire was an interesting thing. I'm not going to go there. Well, when you read the reports, it was just smoke, but it was fire, then it was smoke, then there wasn't any fire, and then they said, well, I'm going to go there, I'm sorry, I can't help it. He says, this letter from, who's it from? It's from Purdue, sent to Mr. Stickles. He says that, now this is an interesting too, if you think about it. He's writing the letter the day of the fire. They had the fire at 8 a.m. that morning, and I know because I lived there. They didn't get it under control until about 2 or 3 o'clock. Well, whatever it was, fire took 60 firefighters to put out smoke, okay? So he says, 8 a.m. we had this problem, and already submitted to the council that day. That's interesting.
What interests you about that?
I don't know. I just find it interesting. You've just had a fire in your facility. Why would the very day you had the fire, you automatically send a letter to the Planning and Zoning Commission?
The letter was to request for the Sunday operation?
Yeah. Or, oh, no, that letter doesn't say anything about the Sunday operation. It just says, we had this problem, and we expect to resume production shipments from existing inventories tomorrow, and here's an interesting part, too, and to begin again processing again by next Monday, March 20th. They were processing that night. I know, because I hear
it. That
I
to get, this?
Sorry, I just want to ask you to relate that.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. That's all. I just thought, okay. You know, you have a fire, and the same day you send a letter, that's what I said. I just thought it was interesting. So, you know, the friendly neighbor thing is definitely not happening. So and I understand that the reason why you probably aren't aware of all these things are no one, I mean, these aren't policed, right? I mean, you give conditional uses, but am I understanding that correctly, that no one checks?
They just, no, sir. With this list of complaints here, I think maybe you're doing the policing. You're right there. My question for you is what was the result of all these? I mean, did they get arrested or?
There were some citations written, yes.
And were they cited? And
I don't really see that. I'm not. You see what I get.
Were they, you know, were they corrected? Well, if they were guests at your home, these permit people, I would think they would have told you something.
Yeah, well, I did have one officer tell me that he cited them. I don't, you know, most of the time I'm not, you know, they're not allowed to tell me that.
Gentlemen, I'm going to instruct the commission on this one that I'm not sure you can give it whatever weight you want, and I'm not sure how much it should be given because it doesn't indicate that really any action occurred. I'm not sure what the relevance of it is with regard to these proceedings. That's
the relevance is violation of their air quality.
Well, there's no finding of any violation on this document. I think you're maybe stepping a little bit out of bounds. I don't know if a violation occurred or not. My point is this document doesn't tell us whether a violation occurred.
What I observed from that document, if you look on the left side, the one document or the one line has a number. Yeah. I'm assuming that's a citation number.
Well, sir, if there's a citation, that means that they've opened a file, they've opened an investigation. Doesn't
like
mean
I said,
how
I
it was concluded. And I think it also can mean a reasonable conclusion, maybe from the action comment closed means that no action was taken. But what my point is that I don't know that the commission can take anything from this document and shouldn't really use it in determining whether to grant or deny the application that's in front of it.
Well, the suggestion would be to Mr. Ebron is that he would go back to Denrec and get a clarification of what action was taken in each of these complaints, because it just says closed except for the NR14649 on the one item.
It's true, because I agree with that, because I got that too soon, and I didn't expect that.
Well, I think that's
limited of detail.
I think that's our point on that. I think it appears to simply be a listing of the complaints you made. It really isn't. It doesn't say what happened. It just
I can't argue with that. You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
You're making reference to or to a letter in reference to the Sunday hours. Can I see that letter?
To the Sunday hours?
Yeah,
the one from
it sound like it was addressed to the administrator.
From Dito or
in reference to the fire.
The letter from the applicant.
Yeah, that's from your file. I got it from your file.
Yeah, because I don't have one in my file. Is that
here last week?
And I just wonder where the original is then, because I don't have a copy of it.
Well, when that's funny that you mention that, because when I was here looking through your records, I couldn't find the copy of the original conditional use either. Mr. Abbott, I appreciate his effort in hunting that down for me.
The girl that, or whoever pulled the file for you, they didn't get both files. They only gave you one file or two files.
Can I make a copy of this letter?
So I didn't get to see all the information.
Can I make a copy of this letter, Russell?
Sure.
We're bringing it right back.
Sure. So you're saying there's another file, Mr. Abbott?
There's two of those brown folders. Whoever pulled the application for you, they gave you one file. There's two of them.
Yeah, large enough to fit into.
Situated in two envelopes. Apparently, both of those envelopes were not pulled.
Well,
just oversight on the person who was helping you.
Okay. Well, I wonder what's in that other file.
Well, I would suggest two things. One is that you can find out what's in the other file and also try to get more information from Denrec. Because
yeah, I do have
recall
to get
from the previous go-around on this, you get two bites out of the sample. One is at planning and zoning, and one's going to be at county council. So,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. So certainly between now and county council, because as you know, we make a recommendation, and then they
right.
make the final decision. So you'll certainly have time, and I'm sure that Mr. Abbott will facilitate that for you.
Okay. That'll be fine. And I want to reference their original conditional use where in conditional use number 10, in the bottom of that it says, in no event shall the plant be allowed to operate with noise or odors exceeding minimum standards established by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control or any other agency having jurisdiction. That's another interesting statement. And the reason why I say that's an interesting statement is because there is no regulations. I have called everybody when they are grading their driveway with a grader at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's literally vibrating the windows in my house because it's a compact gravel road and they're out there grading it off. I call the state police and I say, hey, you know, we got people disturbing the peace out here. They tell me, no, they're not, because it's commercial. And there is no regulations about noise with commercial. So since this conditional use put it in our residential community, there's nothing we can do about the noise. Even though I lay in my bed at night and hear the turbines of their mills humming with my windows down and the air conditioner on, I can still hear it. There's nothing I can do. But if I have a band, I want to have a party, yeah, somebody can shut me down because I'm a resident.
That would be an issue for your state legislature.
I understand. But however, I'm presenting that to you as my case, that these are not the friendly neighbors they're posing themselves to be. And the odor, again, it will not present any odor. Well, I would be more than happy to invite any of you to my house when the wind is coming out of the north. And you can come over and sit out on my deck with me, and we'll have a beer or a cup of coffee or whatever you want to do and see how long you can stand it. And or we can do it another way. We can take some chicken manure, put it in your oven, and bake it like brownies, because that's what they do, and see how long we can stay in there, too. It's not a very pleasant odor. And then the other one that I wanted to look at was the lighting. We talked about the lighting. We already talked about most of the things I'd like to talk about. But
good.
That's about my case, and yeah, there's not a whole lot I can do because it's been placed in a residential area that because of the conditional use, it's in the residential area. That's why I'm presenting that to you. And I think, personally, that our meeting here should be to revoke their conditional use, not expand it. And the Sunday, I do want to go to the Sunday. The Sunday that they're asking for, emergency operations, like I said, it is already not policed. So once this says, okay, you can do this on emergency operations, that's pretty much free reign to operate on Sundays. So Sunday's the only day that I can guarantee that they're not going to be running, except when they do, and I have to call you. So if I want to have a picnic or whatever, either I got to pray that the wind's not going to come out of the north, or I get Sunday. So I ask you to think about these things. If you were living there, what would you be thinking?
All right, sir. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. We got a question. I'm sorry.
Do you know if there are any other neighbors that made complaints to Denrec right now?
Most of the neighbors that are there now are new, so they probably don't even know what it is or where it's coming from. They may, but I haven't. I mean, they've all been there probably within
the... If it's that bad of a smell, I think they would find out where it's coming from.
You know, even when we opposed this thing, most of the people that were opposed to it didn't show up. I mean, I don't know what it is with people in this. You know, they just sit and... I can't explain what their actions are. But again, okay. You're welcome to come to my house.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions?
I have a question for the applicant.
Come back up to the podium, please. I need to ask you to give us your name again because the machine doesn't recognize you.
Wayne Hudson, Purdue Farms, and resident of Laurel, Delaware.
Mr. Hudson, I heard the previous gentleman make reference to you're starting your shift on Sundays at 9 p.m. Is that correct?
No, sir, it's not.
So when does your shift start?
Our shift starts at midnight is when we start heating up the operation. We may have people there, but we do not actually start production. It takes us 12 hours to heat up our process before we can ever start running. So
what would these folks be doing prior to midnight?
To midnight, just cleaning up, getting ready. We have to change our hammer mill blades. We have to check beltings. We clean fans. It's more maintenance PM work that we're doing. It is not production.
So you make the distinction between hours of operation between production versus people actually doing work there?
That's correct. Production is when we are actually limited by our operating permit with Denrec, when we are running our odor control system, and we're actually running the dryer, where we're actually drying the litter, driving moisture off, and that's when we have to have our odor control in place.
So what kind of noise might be generated from 9 p.m. until midnight?
I'm not sure what noise he was referring to, sir.
And has the operation been approached about the lighting that's shining on his home?
Not that I'm aware of, sir. No, sir.
But that's
all of our lights are.
That's
direct.
Something you can take care of.
Oh yes.
Yeah. If you got a light shining on this man's house, will you turn it off?
Absolutely.
All right.
And I would suggest to you, I don't know that distinction can be made about people being there working under that number 18 under the ordinance. I mean, it says no operating hours, and whether you're actually producing the fertilizer, or whether you're, you know, up and running, getting ready for it, I'm not sure that's a valid distinction. I'll just caution you on that.
Okay.
I would probably extend that to the commission, having meant that they didn't want any work done on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of aside from whatever happens as a result of the hearing, but I don't know that distinction can be drawn.
One
question. The only reason we have that is primarily when we are in production. That is our time to do our maintenance on our equipment, and that's when we have designated, usually it's a Saturday and Sunday, is when we try to do our PM mechanical work and when the plant is not running. Under a Denrec permit, they classify that as non-production hours, and they do not consider that as operating. Because we actually have hour meters on our pelleting operation and on our dust control system, and they do come and monitor those hours of production.
Can you provide us with a copy of that permit?
Sure.
And whatever attachments go with it?
Mm-hmm.
Is the door being open? Would the door be closed only during when you're producing and then it's open when it's...
The door that Mr. Ebron was referring to, that is our raw receiving door. We are required that when all raw trucks come in, they have to back inside of the building and then the door is closed and then the load is unloaded. That door opens for every load that comes in of raw material. Of the 5 years that we've been operating, Denrec has visited us several times, and of those 5 years we've been operating, only one time we had the door open 5 minutes longer than what we said it was going to be.
So basically it's open only to allow the truck to enter
back
and park.
Back in, the back to leave. That's the primary use for opening that door.
Have you been cited or fined or anything from any of these Denrec visits? Or
no, sir. Actually, the 5 minutes was the only citation. 5 years. I would like to say last month, we actually had Hank Zygmunt, who is the Region 3 Director of EPA. He visited our facility along with 40 other EPA officials from across the country, and basically we were considered the landmark showcase of what we were doing with our poultry manure and how we were operating our facility well within the environmental guidelines, well within the permit restrictions that we have, and that we were being very successful.
All right, is there anyone else have any other questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing. You may remain with us for the balance of our meeting to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.